Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Friday Live at the Walt Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Walter Latham, along with your co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs, and of course, our panel of thought leaders that shed light on questions impacting our community every day. Before we proceed, we have some great news about some upcoming events, as I just mentioned, along with Michelle, in the coming weeks. So stay tuned. And we're going to mention those at the end of the show. And as usual, please follow, like, and share. Today's episode is titled, Want to Stem the Tide of Injustice? Vote local. You know, so many deaths of Black men that we have seen, and the majority are unseen or covered up. We never see them. All right? From Andrew Brown to Ronald Green. We must use every tool we have to fight against these barbaric acts that are being committed around the country every day. We must vote from the bottom up. So our mindset has to change. There has to be a paradigm shift in the way we think. And I've been told this by the panel members, by guests, but I'm one of the first to blame because some of the representatives that I have in my area, I don't even know who they are and what they do. So I got to educate myself, but I'm going to try my best to make sure that my listeners get a head start and start to think local, local to national. All right. So we must vote from the bottom up. And this will not be the end all be all to our problems, but it will represent a concrete step forward. In addition, we must hold those in office now accountable. All right. They're in office now and they supposedly represent us. We have to hold them accountable. So if they don't, in the next election, when that term comes around, they may be off, you know, they may not be the midterm election. They may not be the presidential election, but we got election in New York next month.
Right.
Yeah. So they reiterate, you know, galvanizing for the national vote is great. You know, everybody coming together and getting that vote out. We got to do the same thing on the local level. We now need to include town, county, and state elections. Even if you got somebody on a block that's running for block captain, he got to be elected. You got to get involved with that. As with Breonna Taylor and Ronald Green and recently the death of Andrew Brown, and especially with Andrew Brown, where the prosecutor just came out and said, look, we are not moving forward with a case, all right? And you're not seeing the daggone cam. The right. Video from the camps that these guys wear. So he just told us, F you. We're not bringing any case against these people. Mm-hmm. All right. So these people are elected officials. All right. These are the ones that can reach out and touch you. All right. This is from elections for city council, board of education, sheriff, judges, prosecutors. All of these people are elected in some way or form.
Right.
So we just got to identify who are the people being elected and how do they impact us? Because 95% of the time, they impact you. You know, I mean, look at Flint, Michigan with the water situation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Look at these failed attempts of cover-up, of them killing our Black folks. So there's a saying, all politics is local. It's true. It's true. I'm a believer, firm believer. That is true. All right. So that's why today's show is how do we stem the tide of injustice? We vote local. It may not correct everything, but it's gonna help. So with that said, let me turn it over to Michelle.
Awesome. Yeah, this is gonna be a hot topic. Walter, thank you for that. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Walt Weekly Friday Live. Thank you to our live audience guests for joining us. Please follow the Walt Weekly and share this podcast by clicking the share button at the bottom right. Today's Friday Live is sponsored by Beauty Blends by Ami, Soap and Love, and Michelle Sweeney here. Our intro and outro music is provided by Uncle Nephew. Today's panel, as always, our weekly panel, returning panel, is Greg Coleman out of North Carolina, COO of Illumination Media and Technology and Engineer at the Walt Weekly. Next panel, we have the Honorable Gene Anthony Edwards, Male District Leader out of the 79th District, Bronx, New York. Next panelist, we have Christopher Sweeney out of New Jersey, retired sanitation worker and CEO of Johnny Boots Catering. Last but not least, we have Mr. Ernest J. Robinson out of Washington, D.C., Sergeant, U.S. Marine Corps Combat Veteran, Senior Consultant at B. Ernest Leadership and Professional Consultant. I will put everyone's social media and websites information in the chat room. Back to you, Walter.
Okay, Michelle, thank you. All right, I want to start by asking y'all guys, what is the best way? How do you see motivating folks to get out and vote in local elections? What will it take? All right, and anybody can field that question. Whoever's ready.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Thanks. You have so many people that are out there for Black Lives Matter, marching. Only when something happens, they should take that energy, that same energy, when it's time to vote for your local offices and districts. They should take that same energy that they go out and protest every time one of us is killed. They should take that same energy and go and vote, not just for the presidential election, but the local districts as well. So if they want to walk the walk, they have to talk the talk as well.
There you go.
Be involved in every aspect, not just to march when one of us gets killed.
I agree.
And I think even to add on to what Michelle was saying is that during those marches, a lot of times we will have the statistics of, you know, how many were killed or, you know, what the details of the case were. Well, we need to have the details of legislation that would match up with whatever it is that we're trying to prevent or stop. You know, the reasons why voting is important, how many people voted in the last election, how many people didn't vote, and what were the results of those who are in office. Like, we should keep statistics of how many, not just how many times an elected official voted on something, but what they did or did not vote on. And I think that if you find the pain point of the constituency is a one way of being able to connect them to the importance of voting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can say that I've never been as determined as I was by Breonna Taylor and recently Ronald Green. And then Alexander Brown out of Elizabeth City, that, I mean, it just dawned on me. I mean, y'all guys have been saying this, Ernest, especially you've been saying this, you know, with the local election and policy and things of that nature. We had a guest on last week, TC was on, and he was talking about, you know, the local, that we got to think local. All right. Because these are the people, like I said, that can lay hands on you. All right. So I, you know, I was lax, but now I see, you know, yeah. So now I'm seeing, and we have to be able to try to convey to our listeners the importance of doing this. Maybe we could, you know, do something on the website where we just list who's an elected or not who, but, you know, generally saying, we say, well, this in this state, they got sheriff elections or judges or et cetera. Maybe we can do something on the website to help people. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was thinking. Definitely. I think that's what we should do.
Yeah.
I also think the messaging has to be clear. And, you know, we just had a brother make history in Boston. He won the first Black mayor. So things are happening. We need to get that message out that people are making strides and taking, you know, making inroads in some of these places. Like Boston is notoriously racist, right? A racist city.
Yeah, definitely.
So for that to happen there is fantastic. And we also need to stay on messaging. I know not everybody watches the news. A lot of people don't believe, you know, don't trust it. But just like with this DA not bringing charges against these officers and not even showing the camera, the footage, look at what Congress is doing and the Senate. They're just totally trying to wash away the insurrection. So it's happening at every level. And we need to remind people of these things, that this is happening. They are totally pushing this under the rug, saying, oh, they were just a bunch of, you know, upset white folk and tourists, and they had a right to be there. And
I like when he said tourists. You know, these were just tourists. Right. Like any other day, you know. These are just tourists.
That's the ridiculousness that they feel that they can get away with now, just because, you know, we sat through 4 years of being told anything, you know, no matter how outrageous it was, and they got away with it. There were really no ramifications for it. I mean, other than actually losing the election. But, you know, even that, you know, was, you know, they feel that they can say anything and there's no price to pay. But one of the things, you know, in your original question, Walt, is what do we have to do? Not what can we do, but what we have to do. And and what I always go back to a sense of awareness and a consciousness towards who we are and where we are and what's going on around us. In every community, there has to be some engagement. You know, we get as a community, and I'm talking all of us, some way or another, the community as a whole gets distracted by things, you know, they can, you know, whatever the latest thing is. And I think, you know, social media and reality TV distracts us. We forget about what's really going on in our communities. There's, you know, we got to overcome a lot of things that are going on in our community for people to get active to the point where they can group together and take some people out in local elections, to start forming a different consciousness of the police department. If those folks in the police department know they could get kicked up out of there because the people are consciously getting together and voting them folks that's going to be people friendly instead of police friendly, then some music will start changing and they're going to have to dance to something else. But we have to increase our awareness and our consciousness. And every time us as a people start to do that, the media, the mainstream throws something else to distract us away from mobilizing and getting together and forming unity. You know, we get, you know, music that talks about, you know, anti-snitching and this, that, and the other. Well, we don't look after our own neighborhoods. We can't mobilize. We have to mobilize. And I know it seems like the same old story, but we have to do it. We got to be consistent, because you see what happened in Elizabeth City, you see what happened in Louisiana, and this is going to continue to happen if we don't get together and get these folks out of there.
Right.
I think another part of the of voting local is that you should also run local. It means that those who are running for office should come from your community. I mean, you should be looking for somebody within your household, that's within your family, because those individuals are supposed to represent your best interests. It's just like at a family reunion. Like, you can't make every family reunion, right? But you send somebody to represent the family.
Right.
And essentially, your elected official should be your family that's there to represent your needs. So I shouldn't be talking about what it is I want to do. I should be able to sit there and say, no, my district, this is the thing that they want. And I can show proof because I take surveys, I've done town halls or whatever. But we need to encourage, motivate, mold, empower, whatever we need to do from within, so that way those who are on the ballot, we know them.
Right.
I agree.
Exactly.
Those are great points.
What I'm thinking is, Ernest, you know, just as a continuation of what you just said, it takes money to run for office. You know, you got people that are from outside the neighborhood. They come in and they got all this money behind them. You know, how do we mount a defense or offset something like that?
There's nothing more powerful than word of mouth. It doesn't matter how much money you actually have. The money that it takes to win an election is the buildings and the flyers and everything else. But if you actually mobilize as many people that come out to these Million Man Marches and you had Million Man door knocking every single day or every other week, and you were sitting there and everybody was singing the same tune, singing the same songs about how good this candidate is or series of candidates or whatever, you don't need as much money. You don't, I mean, yeah, it takes it. You got to pay to play, so to speak. So I'm not, you know, not naive, but, you know, I think we need to do more of having serious candidates, not just somebody from the block, but serious candidates.
Right.
And we need to support them from the very beginning to get that word out and be consistent in that in that messaging.
So, you I mean, are correct. It's all about the same.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You're
go ahead.
Correct. You're correct, because I was going to say my brother is running for councilman in his district in Bed-Stuy, and he personally went door to door to get himself on the ballot. And in his area, he's been doing things year round. So, you know, once he got on the ballot, he didn't have any money. So, you know, he's begging everybody right now for money because he needs money for his campaign, you know, brochures, you know, to advertise this, that, and the other, whatever he needs to do. He, mm-hmm. you know, it costs money, but he did get on the ballot because he made it his business to go out there and get those signatures. So, yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
We also have to look at it like Stacey Abrams. They didn't have a lot of money. They mobilized. They got out there, right. And they had the right message. Mm-hmm. They were able to talk to the people where the people understood them, and they had something to offer. The problem that's going on in politics right now, these people have nothing to offer. That's why they're going around trying to change all these laws and stop people from voting instead of being creative and coming up with some fresh ideas. They don't have that ability. And that's part of the problem.
They're not local. That's why. Kelly Loeffler was born into money. Josh Hawley is not even I don't even think he's even from Missouri. I know that currently right now he lives in Virginia, and granted most US Senate lives somewhere close to DC, but his address, he used someone else's address, like his father-in-law address, in order for him to even run for office. A lot of people are what they call carpetbaggers, who go around from city to city and then run in that area.
They're running off a message that was 4 years of Trump, and they piggyback that. It's not just them carpetbagging. They're seizing on an opportunity that, you know, there are people out there that love this guy. And they're aligning themselves with him, and they're no longer trying to come up with solutions to anything. They're just combative. People want to see a fight. They want to see all the ugliness, and that's all they care about. Whereas Stacey Abrams and the rest of those folks, especially in Atlanta, they had a message, and they went to the people. They got out there grassroots. They helped people, people that came out of prison, all kinds of things. They focused on the right groups of people. And that's what we need to do in every state.
I think, Chris, you hit it right on the head when you said that, you know, these people, their message was going straight to the people. They made the appeal to the people. They had their finger on the pulse of what the people wanted. And that kind of offset their lack of money, because they were very strategic and effective at targeting what the needs of the community was. And that's, to me, that's the pattern that needs to be set everywhere. Instead of ignoring us and lying.
That threw Trump and them off. That threw them off guard. They didn't expect all those people to come out there like that. They came and they waited on long lines all day and they voted.
Yeah, but look, they're trying to blame, you know, absentee voting and this, you know, whatever measures were put in place to ensure people got to vote during COVID. And actually, I think in Maricopa County down in Arizona, you know, they're calling for an audit of the Arizona vote. They're saying that the machines.
They've already done it.
Yeah, but you got to remember, you know, Maricopa has long time been a bastion of racism. So, mm-hmm. you know, they got a track record of that. So you got to be careful of that. You got to be wary.
And they can use all of the tricks they want. People know what they saw. You could say all you want about absentee voting. I'm not going to deny that there were a lot of people that voted that way and people mailed in their ballots. But I saw a lot of people. I saw long lines with my own eyes. Those people were out there. So they could try to minimize all they want. The people that came out, they came out in force and they waited.
Well, but, I mean, that's their only strategy. That's the only way they can delegitimize what happened is, you know, to minimize it. Because like you say, Chris, we all saw what happened. So to sit here and tell us, you know, it was red when it's actually blue is a joke. But that's the only fallback, like you said, because they have no other message. Anything else.
Well, the thing is, a lot of those voting laws were actually in place prior to COVID. There are I think there was 20 plus states and many localities that primarily do absentee voting. Just because of the rural nature that it was already in place. Some of them became the rules changed a little bit, yes, because of COVID, but a lot of it had already pre-existed. And what it also did was it did influence a lot of people who typically were lazy and would not come out and vote, who did vote. So, yeah, yes, it did increase. But there's nothing nefarious about the fact that it increased and it actually worked. What I think that we need to be mindful of is making sure that we have people to being able to protect those current laws and making sure that there's not the efforts for suppression don't go through because that's all they're doing is just looking for different ways of being able to do that. And that also plays a part into gerrymandering and a number of the different ways that they try to suppress the vote. So we have to have people on the ground being able to be mindful of that as well.
Okay. And though one thing that we do need though, guys, is that for voters to be informed. You know, not just vote for a person because they're black or brown. All right. You need to know, you know, about this person, what he represents, what policies he supports. And we put that other criterion in is that they must come from the neighborhood. Okay. So those are like the criteria that we're going to look at. All right. And I think that people should, but they should be educated as to who this person is that they're voting for. That's a key ingredient that we have to have. They have to know who they're voting for. So what do y'all guys think about that? You agree? I know you agree, but
yeah, I think that's instrumental. I mean, you gotta have somebody, you know, and again, we can't be tricked. Generationally, we've been tricked by just a friendly face, just because it was a black face. That's not always the solution. We know and we see that there are many of them that ain't for us or about us.
And Tim Scott. Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. He's just one of the most visible examples of that. And we gotta, but you know, we also gotta determine what we about, what we for, and what we against. And we can't let somebody come in there and smile and cheese and act like he's for us and he really isn't. So we gotta be informed. We gotta stay informed. We cannot let our guard down. We absolutely cannot let our guard down. And one of the things I was concerned about after Obama was elected, that we just all gonna sit around and celebrate and be happy that we had a black president, and then we were in for it after that. So we can't let our guard down, relax. We got to continue to push the bar as to what we want for our community. We got to stay informed. And for those that are not going to stay informed, there's a percentage of us that have to keep them informed. We got to keep setting the narrative and can't let them. We got so many vehicles now. It's not up to the nightly news like it used to be to set the narrative. We can help do that.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
We also have to have people that when we do put them in office, like Tish James in New York, Mm-hmm. I get constant updates in my emails of the things and the actions she's taken on a daily basis. She's keeping the people who voted for her, who followed her, who got her in that seat. She's keeping us abreast and post updated on what she's doing. And that's part of the problem. People need to see exactly what that job entails. And she's opening a door to it to let people understand what her power is and what she's doing. And that's also important. We can't get you there and then you forget about us. Keep us in the loop. And that's what I think that's a page people need to take out of her book.
Yeah, that's a segue, Chris. I'm glad you brought that up because that's a segue into the next part of this question is, you know, how do we hold them accountable? What measures, what metrics do we use to say, okay, this person is doing the job versus this person is not doing the job?
I think that to that question is that we have to change our mindset of how we looked at those that we put into office. We're the employers. As a voter, you are the ones who give this person the job, the opportunity to being able to work for the community. Right. So they're there to serve. Yeah. So as those who are their own owners or who have staff that work for them, we have to be able to tell them, hey, this is what I want you to do. And this is what I need you to check in or, you know, whatever type of supervision that you may have. And that's the way we need to look at it. So then, therefore, the metrics become, did you meet the standard that we set? So that does go in more in line with the fact that we have to become more educated about what that actually is so we know what we're doing and so that we know what they're supposed to be doing. Because when they mess up, if we don't know the job, we can't even tell them to mess up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's what we have to do. And I think that without that, then it's just a waste of time. If we cannot see anything measurable in terms of getting things, policies through and things of that nature, then it's just a waste of time. We have to follow up to make sure. You know, we voted for you. What have you done for me lately? What have you done for me in the past? What are you doing for me lately? And what are you working on now for the future?
And what you going to do for me?
So you know, there's three things there that we have to look at.
Right. But then also, too, what are we doing for? Well, how are we best supporting them? Because if you as an employer, you should be there as a guide, as a mentor. This again, it's a working relationship. So am I giving you the tools that you need to be successful in this position? We have to be able to look at that, too, and be critical of whether or not our community being supportive of their efforts. If they're sitting there trying to clean up crime, are we doing our best to police within ourselves of our own communities? Are we making sure that we're cooperating with the police officers that are sent there, that are doing their job? You see what I'm saying? So it goes into where we just can't put it all on those that are elected because our job, are we doing our job as well?
Walter, this is Gene. Did you hear me?
Now I hear you, Gene.
Okay, what I said, I'm sorry. I guess Ernest was talking at the time, but I was standing here talking to Jamani, and he agreed to be on the show. So I have to reach out to his campaign manager, and we're going to get one of those Fridays in early June, in either the first week or the second week of June. We're going to have him on the show, the Public Advocate of New York City.
All right. I've been looking forward to that, Michelle. I tell you that we've been looking forward to having Jamani on the show. Yeah, y'all guys out there, we have Gene with us, and he's one of our panelists. I mean, he's one of our guys. You know, he's out on the campaign trail today with Jamani. They're campaigning. That's why you're getting that back. You hear that wind blowing out there. They out there walking. All right, because we got elections coming up next month in New York. So, yes, he's our guy on the scene. You know, just like the 6 o'clock news, we got a man on the ground. All right, that's reporting in from the ground. Awesome. All right, the Honorable Gene Edwards. Yes, thank you, Gene. Thank you. Gene. Anything else you got to report right now? Or are you going to just check in periodically? All right,
Gene. He'll come in when he needs to.
Yeah, he's busy now trying to get them boats out.
No, I've been listening to the whole show. I know I've been listening to the whole I've been listening to the whole show.
Awesome.
I heard Ernest talking about campaigning and stuff like that. Like laughing, like I'm actually doing exactly what he said we need to do right now. handing out literature, walking around with Jemani. I'm literally awesome. Doing that right now.
Excellent. Right. Excellent. Right. Yep. Don't just, you got to walk the walk, people. You got to walk the walk. And that's what Gene is doing. He's walking the walk, not just talking. He's walking the walk. Okay.
I also think we need to support the media out there that is doing the work and doing the job. Because if it were not for the media leaking that video in Louisiana, we wouldn't know about it. They would have brushed that under the rug. So it's all right. Media is not bad. The media that is good for us, we need to support that media,
mm-hmm.
and get behind those people as well. Because they're exposing a lot of people. You know, they're not willingly giving this video up. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Nah, that was a reporter that worked on that thing for a couple of years. All right. I don't know, but he was with the Wall Street. The Washington Post?
I think Associated Press. I'm not sure the newspaper. I think it was Associated Press.
APP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but that's precisely why a main staple of the Republican power base was to attack the media and discredit the media for the last 5 years. If you delegitimize the media, and then when these stories come out, they can, you know, sweep them under the rug, act like they're, you know, not relevant or insignificant. But, you know, you gotta have the media doing what they do. And yes, you gotta have discernment. You know, some of it's good, some of it's bad. But like you said, Chris, it ain't all bad. You just gotta be able to read and see what is legitimate and what's not. Because, you know, we would have been in the dark without that report.
Very true. Very, very true. And I don't know, and I know that Chris didn't see that body cam footage. All right. I know I saw it, but my wife was watching Rachel Maddow. That's her show. You know, she watches every night. But anyway, she came to me and said, look at this. And I looked. And I saw this video, and I tell you, it's the most painful thing. I'm talking the Ronald Green murder, lynching, all right? There was no rope, but he was lynched in Louisiana, okay? And how he begged and cried and even said to those cops, I am your brother. Why are you doing this? I am your brother. They were laughing, beating him. They got blood all over him. I'm going to get rid of this blood. What kind of human being does that?
A savage.
What? Yeah. I mean, I was shook. I woke up this morning thinking about it. I mean, I've changed the title of this show about maybe four or five times because I was so angry. All right. And then I try to just, you know, I look for solutions or ways towards change. All right. And I think, you know, that's what this show is about. So, you know, voting local would vote, you know, the local vote have it changed that situation? I don't know. But I mean, it took the prosecutor, the judges, the police department. Do you know what it took to cover this up from 2019 to now?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. All the way up the ladder. And I was angry too, Walt. And you know what calmed me down? His mother.
Mm.
She was so calm and so focused and so, you know, she's hurting, you could tell, but she's not getting emotional to the point where she's losing sight of getting justice for her son. And that's what calmed me down. Watching her, listening to how she spoke. She was so well put together. I mean, you know, she's an inspiration.
So the thing is, you know, as you know, as we oftentimes reflect on, you know, I think to your question, you know, would voting local have prevented that situation? Maybe in some cases, then maybe it would have. But that's where it gets back to the consistency part. Because we can't just vote local just because it's convenient or just because we're enraged or just because we're in Like, we needed to be doing this for years and for decades, because again, all those DAs and all those sheriffs and all those, you know, judges and even down to the magistrate at the local jails, you know, positions that we haven't fulfilled, you know, that we scoff at, you know, in a lot of ways, the injustices that happen within our communities, when you don't vote, in many ways, you're complicit. Your silence. The fact that, I mean, it's like a professional way of not snitching when you don't vote. When you don't let your voice be heard about the injustices that are happening. What could you have done to have prevented that from taking place? You could have voted. You could have been more involved. Right. We could have been talking about police reform and changes. And had somebody that was in office to being able to help make that happen. And that's where the importance come in at, when it comes down to when we do change our minds, that we do have to become more consistent, develop the discipline. We're not going to be perfect. We may miss something or whatever case may be, but we don't make excuses about it. We just get back on the ball and make sure you make the next election, make sure you vote on every single thing, and then start educating yourself, educating your family, having conversations about what they could do, even in your specialty. I mean, in whatever you do hair, you do shows, you do whatever it is that you do. What could you do that could contribute to helping someone get elected or changing policies that you disagree with within your community?
Right.
There you go.
Absolutely.
I agree. The sooner the better. But I'm going to go Hawaii 5-0 on you for that real quick. You know, amen. Amen, brother. I didn't say that. Amen, brother. You know, from McGarrett. You know, they say, you know, that I saw that in reruns, guys. I was too young when it was on TV.
Well, you took it back there, man.
Amen, brother. Yeah. But you're absolutely right, Ernest. You're absolutely right. I mean, it represents a paradigm shift in our way of thinking or mindset that we need to have. You know, I've always looked at things globally, all right, nationally and globally. I never thought locally, and maybe because I, you know, was out with traveling, whatever. But, you know, I'm turning my attention to local. I'm turning my attention to local, but I'm not giving up on national and global. But I'm going to put my focus, because that's where I'm weak. I'm weak in the knowledge of my local politicians, the knowledge of them and what they do and what they represent. Okay. And I think that's what everybody has to do. Take a step back and then move forward. Get some knowledge.
Absolutely. All right? Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to go on to this next question I have. And we talked about it. But, I mean, the nerve of this prosecutor in Elizabeth City refusing to bring a case and stating that the officers acted to defend themselves. So why not show the body cam that supports his statement?
Right.
They won't show that. They won't even show the parents that.
Because there is nothing to support his statement. That's why.
That's right. Why this can't die. We can't. I mean, I'm speechless. I am speechless. If he's so, I mean, it's just like, you know, the Republican that's saying that, okay, the insurrection. Well, these guys are just tourists. So I guess it's the same thing. He's looking at a different reality, even though it's staring straight in the face. I don't get it.
I mean, that's a nice way to put it. Go ahead, Ernest. All right. I was saying that's a nice way to put it, you know, that he's lying. And they're lying. And that's what they do. For this guy to come out and say, the guy that was trying to barricade the door says that this was just a tourist walk. Because he's lying, and we could dress it up all we want to. They're lying and they're being deceitful, and that's what we have to act against. The people in Elizabeth City, they're covering up. We have to call it exactly what it is. They're holding back, and if the system is in place for them to be able to withhold this body cam footage, well, that system needs to be torn down.
Changed.
That needs to be torn down. And they went, oh, you're talking about defunding the police and no. No, I'm not specifically talking about defunding the police, but if it takes that to break that system down, then so be it. But then we got to build it back up. Don't play on our words. Don't, you know, try to put a different spin on it. We got to be very specific about what we want and how we're going to get it. And we are not, in North Carolina, we are not going to allow this to go away. We're not.
The thing is that, I mean, I'm never surprised by it when it happens. And that's only because of all the historical case laws that have been done, you know. And you can go back to Emmett Till, and that case went to trial. You can go to when Mega Evers was assassinated, and that went to trial. You can go back to when the Freedom Riders with the two Jewish kids, young men and the black man, and found them. And you know, the judges saying that, well, the agitators came down and this is the reason why this is happening. So it's been done for decades. It's been done for decades. To just say whatever it is that they want to say, because we are not in a position to being able to hold them accountable. Even for the simple fact that, I mean, why we don't hold the judges. We get the police officers, but we don't hold the chief accountable for it. They still retire and still got their money. We don't hold the judges accountable for making these decisions. We don't get the DA. We don't put the DA in jail for them lying. There's all these protections that are out there.
They protect the higher
happening
ups
for decades.
Mm-hmm. Just like Trump. And so we hold them accountable for anything. So, you know, it just trickles down.
Look at the guy who don't have the power to hold them accountable.
The police,
the only power that we
guy
have.
Go ahead, Chris.
Now, I was just going to say, the only power that we hold really is through our funds. And we have to make, you know, the one thing they love in this country is money. And they'll respect that. Sure. And when we start taking our money and doing what we need to do with it and leaving these places and not going, you know, it may hurt a lot of people, but you're going to get the message across.
Right.
You know, we're not coming
we're
to your
consumer
town.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look at the guy, the police officer that killed Rashard Brooks in Atlanta, got reinstated to the force. There's no way we can. There's no way we can allow that. But they can do it and not care about the ramifications. But I say that, but I think they're gonna take care of that in Atlanta. I'm confident that they'll do what they need to do to make sure that's taken care of, because that's ridiculous.
We shall see.
I know there was one state, I think it was
ahead,
North Carolina.
No, it was Eugene.
Who was the state? No, matter of fact, Georgia is paying for it. I don't know who was talking about the power of the dollar and boycotting, but the state of Georgia is paying, because weren't they supposed to host the Major League Baseball All-Star Game?
Mm-hmm.
And Major League Baseball said, nah, we ain't, you guys want to suppress the voters and stuff, so we're not going to, you know, host the All-Star Weekend there. Yo, they're going to lose like hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, off of tourism and everything else with that All-Star Game, you know?
Right.
So, you know.
And more needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is that you know, the money, if that's what we have in the toolkit and that's what we can leverage, then we have to leverage that. There has to be a way that we can come together, coalesce, and say, okay, we're not going to do this. Because from my understanding, we're consumers. We spend over a trillion or more dollars a year. All right, so that's got to rank up there with at least a 10th country in the world in terms of GDP and what we spend. So we got some power. We got some power with the pocketbook. All right. So we got to leverage that. That's in the toolkit. We got to bring it out.
We have power.
As I said, the boat, that's in the toolkit. Knowledge is in the toolkit.
That's right.
Listen, we have never in this movement to find equality in this country, we've never had corporate companies, the corporate entity backing some of these things the way they are now. And we need to tap into that. These companies are saying, we're not doing business with you because you're not treating the people right. Sure, they have incentive. They have skin in the game. But we need to leverage that and piggyback it and force more companies to bend and come that way and say, hey, enough is enough. Because when they start losing enough, they haven't lost enough money yet. That's the problem.
No. Mm-hmm. Right.
When they start losing enough, they'll switch.
Because I think, you know, some of these folks think it's going to blow over. And they can go back.
It's not. Home.
But right. We can't.
That's
let
what
it.
They're expecting.
We can't.
Mm-hmm. I've been saying this for years. It's not. I've been around a long time. So I know it hasn't blown over. And it's not going to blow over until we address it.
Right.
Walter, I
think
wanted,
because
I
they just had
highlight.
That case with Floyd. And, you know, they're probably like, they already got one. So, you know, we don't have to show this footage. Even with the Brown case, I think it's the prosecutor or whoever it is works in the same building as the sheriff department. They're all friends, so they're basically covering for each other. So how do you get around that? Like, I mean, it's just a well-known fact that they're covering for each other. So what do you do about it?
I wanted to highlight something that that you had said, Walter, and I know Chris has touched on the buying power. Right now, as African Americans, we have about a $1.3 trillion in buying power. There are 211 countries that have metrics on their GDP. And African Americans in the United States would rank 17th. Actually, take that back. We would rank 15th, tied with Mexico. As a people in this country on our buying power.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself, I mean, and maybe like, I know a lot of people who are listening may not necessarily understand what that actually means, but the entire gross domestic product for a country was $1.3 trillion, and that's our buying power. But we don't use it in a way to be able to be influential. Now, we're more than just consumers. We are supposed to be leaders. But I think that we need to really take into account of where we actually really are and how we're going to get there. But I just wanted to highlight that point that Walter had brought up.
That's true. I mean, even in the hair industry, that's a billion-dollar industry, my industry. We support the Asians. They have the products, we spend the money, and we have no discipline. So if you could take that 15% that we are, and we take our monies, buy properties, buy buildings, start a Black Wall Street, we would be incredible people. But
yeah,
we don't have the discipline.
It's
well, that's the thing.
I don't believe that. We do have the discipline. They keep people repeat those things, and I'm not attacking anybody here. We do have the discipline. And, you know, but we have a messaging problem. Again, we need to share information, get the word out, speak to it. You know, shows like this help. We get these things, use the tools that we have, social media, all of these things. The word is getting out. And trust me, we are making a dent in what's happening because these folks are losing their minds. They're going crazy. They attacked the Capitol in this country. You have white men. This is a white men majority led movement who are now playing victims because they don't know how to react to the change that's coming. But it is coming. It is coming, and we are making
over. They're still, their minds are still in that.
We are making a dent, and it's showing because they are losing control. They don't have control over those people. They've let this guy wind these people up, And now they don't know what to do with them. Instead of trying to calm them down or tamp them back, they just said, hey, we just got to get behind them and join them because they can't even control them. They can't control them. And you know what? We are making a dent and we got to keep pushing, never give up, and stop saying that we can't do or we are not disciplined because we are, because they would have wiped us out already if we weren't disciplined.
The only problem I have with that is I think integration really killed the Black Power movement. Because, you know, what integration did was it really gave rise to the house Negro. You know, you look at a guy like Stephen A. Smith, right? He goes on there and, you know, lately he's been bashing Kwame Brown. Anybody who watches the NBA knows that he was the number one pick in the draft by the Washington Wizards when Michael Jordan was like part owner and player. And, he had a less than stellar career, you know, and they're calling him a bust and things like that. And, you know, they're using these big platforms like ESPN and, you know, Fox Sports One with Shannon Sharpe, and they're bashing the brother. So I just happened to go onto his YouTube channel just to hear his side. And, he said something rather profound. He said, you know, you got all these house niggas, you know, that are grown men, middle-aged men bashing me. I thought he was 18. He was only 17 when he came in the league. He said, I was a 17-year-old child, and I had a player mentor that I thought like Michael Jordan, who treated me like, you know, talked to me like I was a veteran player and talked down to me and just robbed me of my confidence, and I never was the same. I never was the same. And once I heard his perspective, I'm like, damn, when my son was 17, I was talking, even though we live in different states, I was talking to him every day because that's the age where they could either do dumb shit and end up in jail, or they could do dumb shit and become a teenage pregnancy. You know, that's the age when you really have to be a father more than ever. So, and I'm saying all this to say that, you know, as long as they keep the house nigga well paid, like the Stephen A. Smiths and the Shannon Sharpe, they have such a big platform, Ernest and Chris, they can sway the tide with their, you know, daily shows, you know, on the radio and on television. Like, who's going to listen to us?
Shannon Sharpe actually backed up Kwame Brown. He sided with Kwame Brown.
Okay, good. He finally, yeah, good. At least he did that.
I'm not going to totally get into this right now, but because I got a different opinion than Gene, but I do understand the point you're making, Gene, when you say, you know, they use the platforms and we got to be better at using our platforms. I also agree with Chris, and even though by habit sometimes we like to infer that we don't have the ability to or we can't. You are correct in saying that we can. And there have been differences made just because of us pushing back and not going for certain things. We've changed the culture of a lot of major corporations. We've changed the culture and we got to keep doing that. We can't let up off the gas because, you know, especially in this time where everybody was hit by, you know, the nation was hit by COVID. A lot of these companies started to realize we need that black money coming in. We can't afford to lose that money. So we got to be a little more conscious of what's going on. And we got to have our ear to what all of our customers want, not just some of them.
We can't. And we have to flex stop that being political so muscle. Negative. Right. We're too negative about ourselves. We can't. We can't be disciplined. We can't. Yes, we can. If you keep saying that, then we won't be. You know, we gotta speak things into existence.
Well, I'm definitely all for that.
I was looking at
speak
the,
and do.
At the
you
chat.
Gotta speak and do.
And I saw something that I think is something that is viable, something that we should do if we can. I don't know what strings or levers we have to pull, but I think we should go back and look at cases wherein, you know, during arrest, a black person or a person of color was killed and it was never prosecuted. Nothing came around with it. I think there should be a review of those cases. I think we need a look back, all right, at all those cases.
No, they
and,
do.
Examine them. Now, that would take a lot of money, but I'm sure that, you know, through this platform, we could probably get some lawyers, or we can approach some lawyers. There's a legal, I think they work with people on death row, but maybe, just maybe, I'm throwing this out there, you guys, but that they can start looking at some of the old cases, you know, go back and look at these cases and look at the evidence and just reopen them if necessary. Because I think that we are only looking at, you know, just, you know, what's above the water, but what's under, there's got to be a lot more to this than meets the eye and what we know.
I think absolutely. That's a good point. Look at what happened. And, you know, Walter, you know, I've been talking about this for a few weeks, is that case, you know, what was going on in Philadelphia with the DA, Larry Krasner, and the former DA. He got in 4 years ago based on the fact that he campaigned for the, you know, the mistrust of the police, against the mistrust of the police department. He overturned, he saw all kind of improprieties, false evidence, framing people, sending people to jail for life for crimes they already had the evidence that they didn't have anything to do with, but nobody wanted to overturn it. He got elected, he kicked half of those dirty cops, dirty DAs out of there, and last year, they decided to can't run against him, like the pro-police candidate, and he beat them the other day.
Yeah,
so that
he beat them down.
Just lets you know that the people wanted that, weren't having that nonsense. And this
they're
is
doing that work in Philly.
That's right. That's right. And to me, that's the model. That's what we all should be striving for, because he went in and dug up some old cases and saw that the evidence wasn't for the black man. And that's also what the Innocence Project is doing. They're getting, you know, legal teams together going over old cases. And if it's flimsy, they're turning it out. And we got to get behind efforts like that. They shouldn't be the only efforts, but we need to get behind efforts like
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking to the other panelists. Look where it's happening. It's happening in the Northeast Corridor. You're talking about New York City. Mm-hmm. You got, you know, DAs like Cy Vance and Darcell Clark in the Bronx, and the Latino brother in Brooklyn. They overturn a lot of cases, and they expunge a lot of stuff. In Philadelphia, yeah, that, you know, is happening there too. But what about those states where black people don't produce as much money as Ernest or Greg was talking about? You know, our gross national product. You know, places like South Carolina, you know, Mississippi, you know, Alabama, you know, those states where black folks don't have as much say, you know, those red states, you know, how do we get justice for people like that? Because we know
that's
what we can do in the Northeast.
Yeah, we got to keep doing what we're doing now, though, to bring it to their attention.
And people need to know that Boston has a black mayor. St. Louis just got a black mayor. Alabama got a black mayor. They're making strides in these places, and that's what's angering these people. They're watching people that don't look like them, that they don't like, now starting to take office, take positions, and that's the beginning. Those are the small steps that got to be taken, and we need to highlight that. We need to get that message out that there are people in Alabama that are out there fighting, that are in the struggle, and they're running for office, and they're starting to make some, you know, get some headway in these places.
I happen to know, you know, again, firsthand, you know, Greensboro, black police chief. Guilford County, where Greensboro is located, a black sheriff. Same thing with Mecklenburg County, where Charlotte's located. Black police chief, black sheriff. But not just black police chief and black sheriff. Black people that are fed up with, number one, the way cops are operating and the way they're being portrayed, and they are verbally have committed to changing it. So they're open to ideas, open to suggestions. But as a people, we have to We have to uplift them at the ballot box. So we can't just say, make the changes, make the changes, make the changes. And when it's time for, you know, the judicial branch to get in it, they can undermine all those changes. We got to put the pressure on them to let them be able to make the changes that we want them to make. And we do that at the ballot box.
There you go. And we do it locally and statewide and nationally, right? Mm. And that's the mind. That's the mindset that we got to have going forward. Okay. All right. So anyway, I do want to turn to where we are now, and I do want to touch base with Gene to see how Gene did. I know he just spoke, but Gene, how's it going out there? Our remote reporter, underground reporter, campaigning.
How's What's it going? Up?
Could you give us some insight and how's it going?
Oh yeah, we wrapped up before I jumped on and started talking, you know, about the topics. I'm actually upstairs now because, you know, everybody's home from work by now, but it was looking good. It was good. It was looking good. You know, a lot of positive feedback, you know, and it's looking really good. It's looking really good.
Okay. All right. Good. Good, good, good. All right, guys. So anyway, we're pushing up against the clock a little bit. So I do want to tell those that have just joined or joining for the first time, you know, that we are a family. This is a platform that y'all guys can come on and hear the truth. And not just hear the truth, but we're going to explain it to you. And then you can go out and do your own research. And you just don't have to listen to us, but we want to shed light on it. We want to bring you to action, basically. Okay. So with that said, I'm gonna go back to the panel for some last thoughts that they may have, and I'm gonna start with Ernest.
No, I mean, one, this was a much needed topic, but I just hope that, you know, that people really kind of adhere to, you know, what everyone has said. You know, there's a lot that has to happen. So we have to learn how to walk and chew gum at the same time, so to speak. But, you know, when, like I said, when it does come down to, you know, come down to those who sit there and say that they don't want to vote or that their vote doesn't count, no, your vote absolutely counts. And every time that there's a death, you know, and every time that there's a cover-up and every time that there's something that's happening that's adverse to the very communities that you live in, it's a result of us all not voting. And for those who are too young to vote, encourage someone who was old enough to vote. And for everyone who was old enough to vote, you know, it is, if you got a younger sister, brother, cousin, niece, nephew, you know, and you want to do the very best for them and protect them, go and vote.
Okay. All right. Truth.
Hey, I just want to say,
back in.
Sometimes I could get a little excited when we're talking about having these discussions on these topics. I just want people to recognize when other people are uncomfortable, that means you're doing something. You're moving the needle. And we have to continue pushing, moving the needle, getting people out to vote, getting people to understand what they're voting for and why they need to do certain things, understand tax code, understand finance, understand all of these things as a whole, because you are making a difference. When you get out there, you know, I keep going back to Georgia. Georgia is just a perfect example of people doing the work and getting results.
Great. Yep, that was absolutely nice. Thank you, Chris. And Greg, any parting words?
Yeah, I just think, you know, like we were talking about, we have to stay, intensify our effort. We have to be strategic. We have to be very strategic about, you know, who we're going to back, how we're going to back them, and the actions we're going to take. And I know myself, I got to stop, you know, dilly-dallying.
Yeah, you went out, Greg. All right, people in the audience, we are doing this virtually. This is a virtual show that we do. People are scattered all throughout the East Coast, up and down. So we're going to run into these problems. So excuse us for that. Okay. So anyway, before I turn it over to Michelle, I am doing a blog on the website, which is www.thewaltweekly.com. I want y'all guys to visit our website. It's coming along pretty good. And just did an updated blog yesterday where we talk about some of the issues that we are talking about today. But it's an opinion piece, you know, so it's, you take what you want from it. I always call reading stuff like that, you know, sifting for gold, you know, throw out what you don't need and keep what you need. Okay. And with that said, Michelle's going to tell you about upcoming.
I don't get about Eugene. I don't get parting shots.
You definitely get parting shots, my friend. Okay. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Well, I just want people to pay attention to what's going on in the news. I had a wise man say something to me recently. He said, don't just pay attention to the news. Pay attention to the commercials, because the commercials, you know, those are the people that sponsor these news programs that come on, even the major networks, you know?
Right.
So you pretty much know where they're getting their money from. So we know where to boycott, you know? If, you know, we don't like what's being, like how our imagery is being presented, we know to boycott Ford. We know to boycott Coke or whatever. So pay attention to the commercials, not just the news, but pay attention to the commercials. Also, we spent a lot of time on the show talking about police misconduct and prosecutorial misconduct, but we got to pay attention to our own conduct. And what I'm saying is that Nancy Pelosi this week had a vote to form a special commission, you know, to investigate the January 6th siege on Capitol Hill. And, you know, the Senate is fighting it. Now, while that was going on and a lot of Democrats, you know, and others were getting, you know, excited about what took place in the House of Representatives, the United States Attorney General Merrick Garland formed a special task force to go after scammers with those PPP loans. Now, I'm not saying that other ethnicities and nationalities aren't scammers, but we know a lot of black folks took advantage of those PPP loans. So on one hand, they're saying, hey, we're going to investigate, you know, the police in Minnesota and, you know, the killing of Breonna Taylor in Louisville. But at the same time, they have a special task force. We're going to lock your black asses off that exhibit bad behavior. So at the same time, while we're checking other people, we got to check our own people. Don't be out here scamming and doing dumb shit and putting yourself in a position where you could end up jail and then try to, you know, use the narrative, white man got his foot on my neck. No, you stole that money. And that's it.
That was great. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Okay. All right, Michelle. And what the new, what we got coming down the line?
You know, market calendars, everybody. We have coming up for next month. I know I'm jumping ahead. Juneteenth celebration on June 16th. It will be on a Wednesday at 6 p.m. We will be doing a live Zoom celebrating Juneteenth. And also on Friday Live, June 18th, that will be our 100th episode.
All right.
Which is amazing. So we'll try to have some, you know, some amazing guests on there. We'll also have Gene follow up for early June for the public figure that we spoke about earlier. So I'm looking forward to a great month of June. And to our audience, if you ever feel like there's a topic that you would like us to discuss, you can go to our website, www.thewaltweekly.com, and make suggestions. You know, we appreciate everybody that's on here, that comes on here every Friday night. I know it's Friday, you know, everything's starting to open up. We appreciate everybody's loyalty every week. So if there's a topic that you like us to discuss, please let us know about it.
All right.
Yeah. All so right. That's you know, that's it for our upcoming shows. We do have some shows coming in the works. We're just waiting on confirmation, so I'm looking forward to that. So thank you to our sponsors, Beauty Blends by Ami, Soap and Love, Michelle Sweeney here, our weekly panel members, Chris, Ernest, Greg, and Gene. Thank you guys for spending the evening with us, early evening part. You can follow us at thewaltweekly.com, IG and Facebook, The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, Podbean, The Walt Weekly, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and other streaming platforms. You can find us, The Walt Weekly. We appreciate everyone. Thank you. Make sure you follow us so you will get our updates every week when we upload our new episodes every Sunday at 3 p.m. on all streaming platforms. Have an awesome weekend, everyone. Stay safe, and please wear your mask even if you did get vaccinated.
Good, good. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we'll see
you. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
All righty. Good night. Have a great one.